Today's Shi'ur is Masechta Erevin Daf Pei Zayin. We will begin on Daf Pei Vav Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom. In our previous Shi'urim, we've been discussing Mechitza Teluya. Essentially, as Rashi and Ritva teach us, that the Gemara here has come to teach us that we find that these two Tanoim, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya, both take lenient approaches towards what is considered a valid mechitza b'mayim, even though technically it should not be considered a valid mechitza. And even though, as the Ritva and Rashi point out, the two subjects that they address, as we're about to see, are really not the same. They're not talking about the same cases. They say, so I saw two things. Rashi seems to say that the point of the Gemara is that because they are similar enough, that they both have the basic underlying principle that we could be lenient with mechitzas amayim, even though they don't say the same thing, that's enough to connect them. The Ritva, however, says what he thinks that the Gemara means to be teaching us is that since we see that they both follow the similar principle, that we're lenient when it comes to mechitzas in mayim, what the Gemara actually is coming to teach us is that each one agrees with the opinion of the other one. And that's why the Gemara puts them together. So says the Gemara again, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya, Amar Dava Echa, they both hold the same. Rabbi Yehuda Hada Amaran, that we learned in yesterday's shir, that a mechitza teluya, even though it's a mechitza that doesn't go all the way down, is acceptable by mayim. What is Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya? Says where the Tanya, as we learned in the Braisa, Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya Oimer, Gezustra, if you have a balcony, a platform that's jutting out of a wall above the water, sheyesh by arba amos al arba amos, that the dimensions of this platform are 4 amos square, and as all the mafarshim point out, in order to accomplish what the Gemara is about to teach us, how we could rely on this type of mechitza, it has to be strictly 4x4 square. In different shiurim, we've discussed when halacha requires dalad al dalad, does it have to be exactly dalad al dalad? Or in certain circumstances we've discussed, even if it's not dalad al dalad exactly, but if it has the dimension of dalad al dalad area, it would be sufficient. Here, there's no question, as we're going to explain now in the Gemara, that you have to have dalad al dalad. If you have dalad al dalad, the halacha looks at it as if we make a hole in the middle of this board that's arba al arba. We make in it a hole that's arba tvachim, that's 4 tvachim by 4 tvachim. And as we've been learning, if you have a balcony sticking out of the water, and you build a frame, and that the frame has dimensions of 4x4, and it has walls, that partitions that go down, also 4x4, then the halacha will be that we could bring water from the Carmelis up to the balcony, into the house, which are Rosh HaSayochid. Because what do we do? What we do is, we start with a area which is dalad by dalad amis, and we cut out a hole in the middle, which is 4x4 tefachim in the center. Now, what happens after that is all this is being done with the halacha. The halacha views as if the area of this board that's sticking out bend down. What bends down is you have a hole of 4x4 that you need for the middle. But again, when we have an area of 4x4 amis, what we have is an area of 24x24 tefachim. So after we cut out the middle and bend down the sides, we'll exactly have a frame of 4x4 with 4x4 of the hole and a frame that goes down 10 tefachim. All of this, of course, is done by halachic means. It's not actually done physically. So yet, says Rav Chananya ben Akavya, when it comes to water, since, as we started the shiur, we're lenient when it comes to water, this is one of the leniencies that we apply. Amle Abaya, ask Abaya, v'dem alohi, maybe we can't be that lenient. At kan lo kam Rabbi Yehuda Hasim, that a mechitza teluya can be relied on by water. When you have actually the walls of this frame, the partition, actually going down, they don't go down all the way to the water. But the halacha says that we say good achas, and the halacha schleps down those walls. And as we've explained previously, even though it doesn't pull it down all the way, even though by a solid wall, maybe it wouldn't pull it down. Because as we discussed in our previous year, if there's room that an animal could creep under that wall, we learned Gedias, Gedayim, Boikimba, the fact that the animals could walk through causes a concern. But that was only said by a wall on dry land. By a wall over the water, there are two reasons to be lenient. One reason to be lenient is because Gedias, Bekias, Gedayim, Boikimba, animals could cause an issue, bekiyas dogim, but when it's fish, lo shema bekiya, we need not be concerned. That's one point to make. The other point to make in this discussion is that kalhu shekilu chacham b'mayim, when it comes to water, even though the chazal were very strict about mechitzas and what is considered a valid mechitza and what is not considered a valid mechitza, here Chazal were not lenient. Here Chazal by water were lenient. But maybe that's only to apply one kula, to apply the kula of good achas mechitza. That when you have this frame with the partitions, with the sides going down 10 tfachim, I'll say good achas. Aval, what happened in the way we just learned, that we applied two kulas. First, we said kaif, that the halacha views as if partitions that aren't there got bent into shape. And also then, we're going to apply the kula of good achas. Maybe we don't say that. Furthermore, strictly, by the yam shel tveria, that's where we could be lenient. Why? Because the yam shel tveria was unique, where it had a high bank around it, and there were many cities that surrounded it. So even though technically it still has the din of a karmelis, but really it has many of the characteristics of a shus hayochid. That's why we could be lenient. Ab b'shamemus, other bodies of water that don't have these circumstances, loy, where Chananya ben Akavi will not be makel, teaches us the Gemara, that's how far we're going to be makel when it comes to water. Continues the Gemara. Now that we've established this kula, we could take it, says the Gemara, a step further. Omer Abaya, or the divrei b'Chananya ben Akavi, that we just said that we could apply these two different leniencies. The leniency of good achas, and the leniency that the halacha views something it's bent, even though it isn't bent. So he says, "Hoisa smucha l'kaisa b'pax m'shlosh tfachim." And this is diagram 300 in the Sefer Amor Mavor. So what happened over here was, you have this board, which is 10 tfachim and a mashahu, by 10 tfachim, it's 4x4 board, but it's not really 4x4. What it had ahead of this, the width was 4 amos, and the length was 4 amos. V'rochvay achad asav mashu, and the length was 11 amashu. But let's explain what the width and the length is. The width, as we see in this diagram, is what is parallel to the existing wall. The length is what is perpendicular to the existing wall. So what does the halacha do? So what the halacha does is, we look at that hole that is next to the wall, and then what the halacha does is, we take, as if there's a, since it's 11 tfachim in that direction, we take one of those tfachim And now we have a perfect wall of, we have a perfect hole of four tefachim by four tefachim. The reason we could do this is because since between this board and the wall, there's less than three tefachim, whenever we say, whenever we have less than three tefachim, we apply the concept of lavad. So now we have a hole of four tefachim. Now what we do is we take the rest of the board and we bend it down. We bend down the two. We bend down the extra tefach that this wall has, and then we bend down the sides. And by bending down the sides and that extra tefach, what ends up happening is that we have now a frame that has the proper dimensions to pull up the water. Now the Gemara gives us another situation. Says the Gemara, from Haisa Sakufa. If the board was stood up upright, and we want to be able to create this frame, we can create this frame tzarch shehei goiva. If the height of these boards are sar tfachim, and the rochvoy and the width of these boards avav tfachim shnei mashu, will be able to create with the halachic principles of koif and gurachis a proper frame through which to draw the water. What we do is we put the board with its length pointing downward. We put it, we obviously have to have some sort of a way of connecting it to the wall, some sort of beam, as is shown in diagram 302. We put that facing the wall at a distance of four tefachim from the wall of the house. Now, there's a gap of four tefachim between these two boards. The gap of four tefachim between the two boards serves as the hole. The wall of the house and the 10 tefachim length of the board now serve as two of the four required partitions. Now we have the 6 tefach plus width of the board. We view that, we bend it inward towards the wall to create two partitions of slightly more than one tefach. And since they're each within three tefachim the wall, we apply the principle of lavad. And now by applying all of these different principles, we have a frame of four tefachim by four tefachim through which we could bring up the water. Ask the Gemara, after doing this, El Hod Tanya, this that we learned in the Braisa. If you have a balcony which is 4 amos of 4 amos, you cut out a hole of 4 amos, 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim, and you could do and draw water. Why does the board have to be 4 by 4? We just gave examples where you don't have to have such a large board. Answers the Gemara. David, it's shaped like a mortar. That means after the balcony is bent downwards around the hole, it resembles a mortar, which again will show the diagram, which is diagram pay 305. When we look at diagram 305, if the area to be enclosed stands at the corner of a building, a board 10 tefachim high and less than 2 tefachim wide will be enough. Because what do? We start with the two existing walls, as we see in diagram 303. So when we start with the two existing walls, so we already have two of the four partitions that we need. The way we now complete this frame is by putting up this board within 3 tefachim of one wall and perpendicular to it. Again, we see that all in diagram 303. This board is within 3 tefachim of the existing wall and 4 tefachim of the other wall. By doing this, we then bend. So we take the board within 3 tefachim of one wall, and then, so now we have a third wall. And now, at a distance of 4 tefachim from the other wall, parallel to it, we take the board and bend it. And by bending, we bend it that it should be within three tefachim of the existing wall. That's shown in diagram 304. And by doing all of these halachic principles, so what we did was we relied first on Lavud for the wall that is perpendicular to this wall on the back. Then we did Kaif to bend that board to make it parallel to that wall that we just discussed. And like that, we, the halacha, by combining these two principles of Lavud and Kaif, we have a proper frame. So, but says the Gemara, when Rav Kadne Bar Kavya said that we have to have a board of four amos and four amos, here you see we don't have to have such a big board. And says the Gemara, diagram 305. When you have a balcony, as is shown in diagram 305, which is not near any wall, or not near enough to any wall, that even if we'll say Lavud, or if we'll say Kaif, it won't work. So that's why when we say we won't be able to rely on Lavud, that's why we'll have to have such a large board, as is shown in diagram 305. Says the Mishnah, Amas Hamayim, if you have a body of water, a canal of water, Shoveres b'chotzer, that's passing through a chotzer, it goes, it starts at one end of the chotzer and goes through the other end of the chotzer. So now the question is, when you have this canal, of course the canal has to be at least 10 tefachim deep and 4 tefachim wide, so it gives it the dimensions of its own rishus, and it passed, as we're going to see, it's considered like a kamlus. So even though it's passing through a chatzar, which is a rishus yachid, we can't rule water from it to the chatzar. If, however, the canal doesn't have those dimensions, then we won't have a problem because it's not considered a kamlus. So it teaches us the Gemara, teaches us the Mishnah, Emim Alam and B'Shabbos, we can't pour, draw water from this canal in Shabbos. Elm ken aslo mechitza gvar yutfachim, unless we make a mechitza of yutfachim, even though it's a mechitza teluya, but we just finished learning, a mechitza teluya by water is acceptable. So therefore we can make this mechitza, beknisa ubiyitzia, at the entrance of the chatzar and at the exit of the chatzar. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, koisa shalgaba, if we have a wall there already, which passes over the canal by the front, by the entrance and exit, that is sufficient. We don't have to make a new wall. So the truth of the matter is, asked the Rishonim, that we already had this, the Achronim, we already had this machlokes previously, how, in our previous year, how we could divide a bar. Can we rely on an existing wall? Do we have to make a special wall? Why do we have to have it here again? So the Tveres Yisrael answers that before we spoke the halach of a bar to teach us the opinion of Chachamim, that even if we make a mechitza deliberately for this body of water, it has to go into the body of water, and otherwise it would not be sufficient. Here the Tanna is coming to teach us that according to Rabbi Yehuda, even if this wall, as we're discussing just now, was not made at all for the water that we need to deal with, it's still going to be acceptable. The Maral says that the reason the Tanna spoke about the bar was to teach us that even if you have a wall that doesn't at all interfere with the flow of the water at any time, still doesn't take away from it being considered a valid wall. And otherwise, our Mishnah is coming to teach us that even by a bar in the middle of a chatzar, you need to make a special mechitza, and otherwise it wouldn't work. Continues the Mishnah, Amar Yehuda, Maisa ba'omer shel Ovel, there was a canal in Ovel which traveled through the chatzeres of the town, Shemimal memen al pizakeinu b'Shabbos, they would draw water from it based on a psak from the Zakenim, even though they didn't make a special wall. They just relied on the Mechitza Teluya. So this clearly is an indication, says Rabbi Yehuda, that any Mechitza Teluya over water is acceptable. Amai, Amalai, so they responded, there was a whole different factor to take into consideration. There wasn't, it didn't have the proper shiurim, which we explained before, it has to be 10 tefachim deep and 4 tefachim wide. Otherwise, it's not considered a karmelus. Even though, points out the Meiri, normally a karmelus doesn't have to have these dimensions. Here, the water, the canal that we're speaking about, is only considered a karmelus if it has these dimensions. Because if it would not have these dimensions, points out the Meiri, then the halacha would be that it's just considered ancillary to the chatzar and it's not considered independent. Tanabon, osloi beknisa. According to the Chum, you have to have something done at the beginning and the end, at the end, exit and the entrance. So says the Brice, osloi beknisa v'loi osloi beyitzia. If such a partition was made at the entrance and not at the exit, or osloi beyitzia v'loi osloi beknisa, it was made at the exit and not at the entrance. Eim malam b'shabbos, you can't take water from that canal into the chotzer. Elm kain. A solo mechitzah, a sar tefachim, b'tzir v'knisa, you make a special entrance. Yudaima kosh shal gaba, as Rabbi Yehuda taught us in the Mishnah, the wall that's on top of this water, tidim shemechitzah. And Amar Rabbi Yehuda, masav amas amayim shoysa ba ma'ovel tzipari, it was a long canal that traveled from Ovel to Tzipari, v'yamal men b'shabbis, I pizakenim. Amar loy, so you see that the existing wall is satisfactory. Amalei, to which the Chacham told him, Misham Raya, Livnei Shalahersla, Muka Sara Tvach, Varach of Arba, so that's why it wasn't considered a karmelus, and therefore wasn't a problem. Tanya Idach. Now the Gemara brings another Braisa speaking about a canal. Says the Braisa, Mas Havayim Haymeres Ben Chelonis. If we have a canal, of water that goes between two windows, that means there are two houses, there are houses on the two sides of this canal, and there are windows from which you could draw water into your home. So the halacha is, pachas mishloisha tefachim, if it's less than shloisha tefachim, and the Gemara in a moment is going to explain what does the braisa mean when it speaks about the shloisha tefachim. Says the Gemara, pachas mishloisha tefachim, you could throw a pail out of your window and fill it up with water and bring it back into your home. However, shloisha, if the area that we're speaking about is three tefachim, then a mishasudli umemale, you may not do so. Rav Shimon Gamliel says that the shear is different. Rav Shimon Gamliel says pachs mi arba. If it's less than four tefachim, that loch is mishasudli umemale, you could throw out that pail to fill it up. However, arba. If it's four tefachim, aim a shashan delim amali, then you may not do so. So the Braisa just spoke about the three tefachim and the four tefachim, but as we immediately pointed out, we really don't know what is meant when we speak about three tefachim or four tefachim. Ask the Gemara, b'mayiskinen, what is meant? Ilema, asked the Gemara, if we're talking about the mas hamayim gufa, that we're talking about the actual width of the canal, and was saying that if it's three tefachim, then you have a problem, and Rav Shimon Gamliel, because then it becomes a karmelus. And according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, it only becomes a karmelus when it's four tefachim. Ask the Gemara, how can we suggest that is the halacha? V'alhod d'chios Rav Dimi, Amma Rav Yochanan, Rav Dimi taught us the name of Rav Yochanan, and karmelus pachs me'arba tefachim. A karmelus is never less than four tefachim. If you don't, and as we said, that if you don't have those dimensions, it's going to be a makom p'tor. And if it's a makom p'tor, there's no need to do anything, says the Chazon Ish. The Mishnah Berurah both say this. So, why over here are we suggesting that there's a machlokes and that there's a min, and that the Chum's opinion is that as soon as it's already three tefachim wide, it's going to be a problem that it's a karmelus. Can you in any way suggest that the Kanai Omer L'Shmatzei, that this halacha that we discuss, what is the width of a karmelus? Three tefachim, or four that when we say that the width of a karmelus is four tefachim, is actually perhaps the subject of a machlokes tanoim? Says Gemara, that's not what was meant. Ella bagofeha. What we're speaking about here is the bank next to the water. And the question that we are discussing here is, what is the width of those banks? And you could see this in diagram 307. When we look in diagram 307, we have the houses with the windows. We even have a pail, and we have the canal. And then we have some area, some ground between the houses and the canal. And the machlokes here is how wide may those bank be? If it's 3 tefachim or 4 tefachim. What we're doing here is with taking the pail, filling it up from the canal, and then putting it on that bank, on that beach, whatever you'll call it, and then bringing it into your house. And the question here is, until what point may that be done, and at what point may that not be done? And what we're saying here is that if the bank is less than 3 tefachim, the chum hold that only if it's less than 3 tefachim wide does it have the status of a mokum p'tor. And if it has the status of a mokum p'tor, therefore I could take it from the water, the karmelis, put it on the mokum p'tor, and then bring it into our home, the Rishus HaYachid. But if it's wider than that, it's a problem. And Shimon Gamliel says, no, as long as it's narrower than 4 tefachim, it's still going to be considered a mokum p'tor that I could use as a transfer point from that into the house. Ask the Gemara, is there anybody that says, we discussed this in previous shurim, is there anybody that's going to hold that you take something from a karmelis and put it on a mokum p'tor and then bring it to Rosh Hashanah Yochid, that's permitted? Ask the Gemara, the Kiyasa Rav Dimi, we learned from Rav Dimi, Omer Rav Yochanan, mokum she'en by alba al arba, if you have an area that isn't alba al arba, and because it's not arba al arba, it's a mokum p'tor, mutal b'nei Rosh Hashanah Yochid, b'nei Rosh Hashanah Rabban l'katef alav. People in the Rosh Hashanah Yochid could put objects down on it, people from Rosh Hashanah Rabban could put objects on it, because as we always described, there's no isser of putting something from Rosh Hashanah Yochid into a karmelis, onto a mokum p'tor, or from Rosh Hashanah Rabban onto mokum p'tor. However, we always learn, the mokum p'tor cannot serve as a transfer point that I should be able to carry something from the Rosh Hashanah Yochid to the Rosh Hashanah Rabban. So why over here are we allowing this mokum p'tor to be the transfer point between the water and the house? Answers the Gemara, Hasam, when do we say that the mokum p'tor may not serve as this transfer point? When we're dealing with Rishu Yisdaraisa, that you want to use the mokum p'tor to be able to transfer something from a shusayaka to shusarabim. Hacha, but what we are discussing in our case is Rishu Yisdarabanan, where you want to carry something from the Karmelis, the Yam, to your home. And from a Karmelis to a shusayachid, if you put it on the mokum p'tor, there is no problem. Ask the Gemara, V'Rabbi Yochanan, Rishu Yisdarabanan. Rabbi Yochanan said his halacha, even Rishu Yisdarabanan, he said, Nami Omar, also said that we can't use a karmelis as a transfer point. The Tan, as we learned in the Mishnah, and Daf Ayin Vav on the base, Koisel Ben Shtei Chatzeres, if you have a wall between two chatzeres, and the wall is Gevaya Sar Tfachim Verach of Arba, it's 10 Tfachim by 4 Tfachim, the halacha is Me'arvim Shnayim Ve'me'arvim Echad. These two chatzeres cannot combine into making one Erev. The reason, as we discussed when we learned the Gemara then, the Mishnah and Gemara there, is because this decent wall is considered a separator between the two chatzeres. And when you have something that separates the two chatzeres, you can't connect them with an Erev. So now that we have this wall that's separating the two chatzeres, but we learned, Hay Bereshay Peris, if on top of the wall there are fruit, the halacha is Elo Oilem Mekam V'Oichlem, people from one chatzah could go on top of the wall and eat, Elo Oilem Mekam V'Oichlem, and people from the other side could eat the fruit. But we learned, you can't take the fruit down. You could eat the fruit, and we'll speak about this more in a moment, that's on top of the wall. Nifritz a Kaisel, if the wall develops a breach, if it's ad Eser Amos, less than 10 Amos wide, Ma'arvin Shnayim Ve'ein Ma'arvin Echad. They can make separate areas from Ratzu if they want, Ma'arvin Echad Neku Pesach. Which, as we always explain, if you have 2 yards next to each other, so if there's a gate separating 2 yards, so we let's learn, they have to make separate Eruvim. If there's a door in the gate, so they could choose to make 2 Erevs, 2 separate Erevs, or to combine. So if the breach in the wall is less than 10 Amos, it's like a door in the gate. Yosem Akein. But if the breach is wider than 10 Amos, there it's considered that the 2 Chatzeres are completely open to each other, and therefore the halacha is Ma'arvin Echad, Me'arvin Shnayim. They don't have an option. If they're not going to make 1 Erev to combine them, they're considered 1 chatzer. And if they're 1 chatzer, as we've learned Baruch Hashem so many times, whenever you have 1 chatzer, you have to, everybody in that chatzer must contribute to the Erev. And otherwise, it's not going to be acceptable. Vavirimba. And as we learned that Mishnah, we learned, what's going to be the halacha ein ba arba? What's the halacha if the wall isn't 4 tefachim wide? Amarav. If you have such a narrow wall between the 2 chatzeres, we consider it connected to both chatzeres. And therefore the halacha is that you can't move anything on top of it. Because as we learned this week, Rabbeinu Yonason explained that whenever you have an area that is equal access to the 2 chatzeres on the side of it, the halacha is that it becomes connected to both. Here, the 2 chatzeres obviously did not make an Erev together. They couldn't make an Erev together because they're separated. So then the halacha is you can't move on that wall. Rabbi Yochanan said, Eilu ma'alam mikan v'oichlam. The people from one side can eat on top. Ve'elam el mikan oichlam. V'ozer Rabbi Yochanan tamei. Why did Rabbi Yochanan say this? The koser of Dimi Oma, makom she'en by Abba Abba. Since this wall is not dalad by dalad, not dalad by dalad, therefore it's a makom p'tor, and since it's a makom p'tor, mutl b'nei rishus rab l'bnei rishus ayoch l'katef lov, as we spoke about a few moments ago, people from the rishus ayoch and the rishus ayoch rabim could put objects there. However, uvach lo yichlifu, they may not use this as a transfer point. What do we see from here? This wall, given that it's not dalad al dalad, and therefore is a makom p'tor, we're saying cannot be used as a transfer point. Now, where is this going to be a transfer point? It's going to be used as a transfer point from the people on the Rosh Hashanah on one side to the people to Rosh Hashanah on the other side. But didn't we just say that the only time, didn't the Gemara want to suggest, asked the Gemara, that the only time we're concerned that something shouldn't be a transfer point is only in a situation where it's only going to be a concern in a situation where it's a Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. When you have 2 Rosh Hashanahs on 2 sides, we're not going to be concerned about a transfer point. So how do we understand this? Answers the Gemara. Hahi, this Chumrah, that even when it's not just going to be used as a transfer point between Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, what's going to be used as a transfer point between Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah is still a concern. The one that has that concern was Zira. He holds this way. Rav Dimi, however, the Gemara says, will hold that the only time a Mokum Tor may not serve as a transfer point is when we're going from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Says the Gemara, fine. So Rav Dimi, we've answered, but what's Rav Zir, what's Iri, Kashaha? What's Ziri going to do with the case that we began, where you have the canal, which is a Karmelis, you have the bank next to the homes, which is the Mokum Tor, and then you have the homes, where the Brisa says, I could take something from the water, put it on the Mokum Tor, and then take it into the house. But according to Ziri, that ought to be Asur. Answers the Gemara. Ziri Mokum Lop. Ziri is going to explain that Bryce is talking about Mas HaMayim Gufa. That we're not talking about the the bank, but we're talking about the water. And the Chama of the opinion that, and it goes back to what we discussed earlier, that Ziri is going to hold that if it's already three tefachim wide, it's considered a karmelus. And that's why we're not focused. There may not be any banks. And therefore, according to Ziri, the Chacham hold that as soon as the water is three tefachim wide, it's considered a karmelus. And I may not transfer from a karmelus into Rishus HaYachid. Whereas Rav Shimon Gamliel is going to hold that's not a karmelus until it's four tefachim wide, and therefore I could take something from the water into the house. Rav Dimi and the Halacha that we said earlier, that everybody agrees that a karmelus is never a karmelus if it's less than four tefachim, actually, Ziri is going to have to hold that Tanoihi, it's really a subject of Machlokes Tanoim. That is exactly the Machlokes of Chomer Shimon Gamliel, as the Gemara actually suggested right away at the beginning, that that's the Machlokes. The Gemara didn't like that, because Rabbi Yochanan said that everybody agrees, but Ziri is going to say no, that that's the subject of a Machlokes. Ask the Gemara, even if the actual canal doesn't have the proper width of a karmelus, but why isn't it considered kechayri karmelus? The water, this canal, is feeding off the yam. And since it's feeding off the yam, if the yam has the din of a karmelus, the halacha is that something that feeds off of it should have the same din as the karmelus. Just like we find that chayri rishus hayachid are considered like rishus hayachid. Chayri rishus rabim are considered rishus rabim. So the Gemara is suggesting whatever the dimensions of a karmelus are, but this mayim that's feeding off the yam should have the din for sure as a karmelus because of the halacha of chayrin. Answers the Gemara, Abai bar Ovin, Rav Chanina bar Ovin, the Amri Tavayu, ain't chayrin on karmelus. There's no din of chayrin by a karmelus. The only din of chayrin was says, whereby Rishu Yisdaraisa, by Rishus HaYochid, by Rishus HaRabim. But since the whole, this is the way the Rashba explains the Gemara, since the whole concept of karmelus is only midrabbanan, so the Rabbanan said the karmelus itself has the din of a karmelus. But to expand and say a din of chayr l'karmelus, that we wouldn't say. Rashi Amar, Rashi disagrees. And he says, afilu yesh chayr l'karmelus. We will apply the concept of chayr l'karmelus. When do I say chayr l'karmelus? Hani mili besmucha. When the chayrin are right next to the karmelus. Hacha, but here, where we're drawing water from is quite distant from the karmelus. There, it's not considered chayrin l'karmelus. And the Ritva says, what is the shear of close and far? The shear of close and far is four tefachim. The Gemara goes back to the Machlokes of Rav Shimon Gamliel and the Chachamim that said Gimel and Dalet. Says Ravina, the Machlokes of the Chacham Shimon Gamliel is not referring not to the width of the water, and not to the width of the bank around the water, but rather what the Gemara is referring to, says the Gemara, Kigoin Davalai Nifka Pumay. What we're speaking about here is that they made around the outlet, they made some sort of a board next to the exit of the water. That means they made a board, they made a mechitza made out of two boards. Each one of them is near the bank of this canal, and there's water traveling between these two boards. If the chams, and this goes to an old machlokes, we've discussed many times the concept of Lovid. We spoke about the concept of Lovid actually in our Shia Baruch Hashem today. The question that we're discussing now is a whole new discussion. And that is, when we say Lovid, what is the Shia of Lovid? Do we have, is it three tefachim or four tefachim? The Chum always hold that the Shia is three tefachim, and the Rabbana and Rav Shimon holds that the Shia is four tefachim. Here we want to rely on the concept of Lovid by having these two boards with a space in between. Vazer Rabbanan L'tamei, that if the space is less than three tefachim, I could say Lovid. And otherwise, I cannot say loved. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Tamei, that even if it's up to four tefachim, I could still say loved. The Mishnah now teaches us the halacha that we've actually discussed a number of times in our shiurim over the last couple of dafim. It says the Mishnah, Gzustra Shila Malam Ramayim. You have a board that's sticking out over the water. Eim Malam Mena B'Shabbos. You may not take water from the water, you may not draw water from under the board, which is a kamlus, up to the board, which is a Rosh Hashayachid. Elm Kain, Aslam Achitza Gvaya Sar Tfachim. As we spoke about at the beginning of the shir, if you make this frame that has 10 tfachim, then that makes combining with the concept of Gurachis, so it takes that frame all the way down to the water, and like that, I'm allowed to draw up that hole into onto this platform into the house. And when I build this frame, it could be Meimil Mala, facing upwards on the balcony sticking out, or Meimil Mata, or whether it's sticking out downwards. Continues the Mishnah. V'chein sheyedu straws. We have two such balconies sticking out of the house. Zu l'malam zu, where the one board is higher than the other. V'asul al yoyna, and they made this frame for the upper balcony. But they did not make it for the lower balcony. Then the loch is shteima suris ad shiarvu. The frame is a good frame, but because I don't have an eruv connecting these two areas, so as we discussed extensively this week, because they considered that they have equal access to this frame, even though the one has it actually on the balcony and the other one is not on the balcony, but as we explained quite extensively this week, it's still considered somewhat connected. And since it's still considered somewhat connected, they did make an Erev. So, and it's connected to both, you can't use it. Says the Gemara, Masnis and Lok Chananya, Benakavya, Amish that doesn't follow the opinion of Chananya Benakavya. The Kanya, Chananya Benakavya Oimer, Gzustu Shesh by Abba al Amma. If we have this board, chaykik arba al arba, as long as we make this hole, umamala. As we learned at the beginning of the shir, we learned today that we don't have to have the actual partition going up or down 10 tefachim. By applying the concept of kaif, a bending, we have that partition. However, comes the Gemara, Am Rabbi Yochanan, Meshim Rabbi Yosef ben Zimra, Lehit Rabbi Chanan ben Akavya, El B'Yam Shal Tvarya. Is this kula, the Rav Chananya ben Akavya says koif, that the halacha bends boards to create a frame, says the Gemara, was only said by the Yamashal Tveria. Why was it only said by the Yamashal Tveria? Because as we explained early in the shir, Hoyle, when we look at that river, Yesh Lo Ignayim, it has a high beach around the river. And there are Yoros HaKafafes, there are all sorts of cities encircling this yam, so it's really a rishus hayochid. So that's why we could be lenient, but otherwise, b'sharmim is other bodies of water. Even Rav Chananya ben Akavya would not be lenient. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan Shlosh Dvarim Hitter Rav Chananya ben Akavya Lan Shadvaria. There were three places that Rav Chananya ben Akavya gave leniencies to the people in Tveria. Memal Maim Begzustu B'Shabbos. The halacha is that we just learned that you could use this balcony and bring up water, even though you don't even have the frame. But time number otzer, the halacha is that you could put your vegetables, you could store your vegetables ba'otzer in the residue. You could store them and they won't be tamei, even though they're wet from the dew that fell on them. And we could use an aluntus towel to dry ourselves up on Shabbos. And the Gemara goes through each one of the halachas. The first halacha is what we learned. Mal maim gezustu b'Shabbos. So that maran, that Rav Chananya ben Akavya, not only do we have this incredible leniency that the frame alone could be used to draw water up to the house, but you don't even actually have the frame. You only have a halachic frame by bending sides that don't exist, and you still could be lenient. So in order to understand the Gemara, we have to quote a pasuk. The pasuk says, V'chiyut ha'mayim al zera, v'naflum min v'losim olof, tamehu lechem. That fruits, vegetables, are only mekabel tuma if they get wet. That's what we know throughout Shas, the concept that has to be mukhshul kabel tuma. The Gemara, Masechta Metziyot, Daf Chof Beis Amud Beis, teaches us, what does it mean getting wet? Does it mean that you have to make it wet? Or is it enough that you're satisfied? Is it enough that it is wet? And the Gemara says, really a compromise position. If it got wet, if you made it wet, then of course it's considered mukhshur. If it got wet and you're not satisfied that it's wet, then it's certainly not, and you didn't make it wet, it just got wet and you're not satisfied that it's wet, it's certainly not considered mukhshur kabel tuma. If it got wet, not because you made it wet, but it got wet whatever way, but you're satisfied that it's wet, that's also considered mukhshur kabel tuma. So the Brice teaches us, Hishkam, somebody got up early in the morning, Lavi Psoilus, to bring in the residue of his crop, in Bishvil Sheyesh Leftal, if the reason he collects it at this point is it's because it's wet from the dew that fell on it, that's considered that you're satisfied that it's wet, and if you're satisfied that it got wet, even though you didn't make it wet, it's considered mukhshur kabel tuma. But if you only collected it at that point in the morning, because you have a different job during the day, so you can't collect fruit and vegetables during the day, so you did it at that point, it's not considered that you're satisfied, that's not considered that it's mukhshur kabel tuma. But says, the people in Tveria were working people, we could assume that the people who are collecting the fruits and vegetables in Tveria only did it because they didn't have time by the day, not because they wanted to get the fruits and vegetables when they were wet, and therefore they're not considered mukhshur lekabel tuma. The Tosfos Rosh and other Rishonim have a different explanation. They say that the fruits of Tveria were extremely moist and delicious. And because the fruits of Tveria were extremely moist and delicious, nobody really needs them to be wet. They're very usable to us even without them being wet because of the dew. So there we can be sure that they're not collecting them because they want them when they're wet from the dew, because they don't really need that moisture. There's enough moisture in the peiris, and that's why those peiris are not considered mukhshur kabel tuma.